Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word? See, that's an important question. It's like Pastor Mike was saying, are you ready for the word? It's not just, we don't really just come just to hear a message. But we want to receive the word of God. God wants to share his word with us. To effect a change in us. So that we can live in the victory that he provided for us. So that's our purpose here today. The Holy Spirit is here to share truth with us. The truth of his word. That's exciting. It's exciting for me to think that God Almighty wants to share his love, his heart, his word, so that we can get the revelation of how good he is, what a great father he is, and how much he has for us. So let's put ourselves in a ready position. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to hear your word, to be taught by you, to be instructed, to receive revelation by you, Holy Spirit, so you lead us into truth, so that you can share with us what we need to hear today out of your word. And so we can effect that change in our heart. We can receive your life-changing word. And so we won't go out the same as we came in. And Lord, we give you praise now because we are expecting to receive. We are putting ourselves in a position ready to receive.
Yes.
We receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Now, I'm going to give I'll give the title, but first I'm going to give a little intro. Because back in October, November, I did a short series. And it was called, But Wait, There's More. Yeah. And the purpose of that series was to raise our awareness, raise your awareness of how much God provided in the atonement of his son Jesus. There is so much that was given to us in that event. And it encompasses more than just heaven and the sweet by and by. As good as that is, and if that's all there was, it'd be great. But it's more. And it encompasses more than healing. God wants you well. And that's wonderful. That's exciting. Especially if you're running into some physical challenges, but there's more, and he has prosperity for you, but there's more, and deliverance, but there's more. So it was to raise this awareness of, hey, that God has more for us. And one of the things I think summarizes it real well is in 2 Peter chapter 1, he opens up and he talks about God's divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through our knowledge of him. Another translation says that his power has given everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. Now, did you catch that? He has provided everything, everything that we need, whether it's peace, whether it's patience, whether it's love, whether it's joy, healing, prosperity, everything that we need. And so we want to be diligent to receive everything that's in that benefit package because he gave it to us. Why? Well, first, yeah, and he provided it for us. He paid for it. He paid a great price to provide this for us. Another reason was it pleases him. It pleases him. It says in Luke 12, 32, it says, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you want to please the Lord?
Yes.
Receive from him.
Yes.
Can you see that?
Yes.
It tickles him. He's a good, good father. It tickles him, excites him. Can you see Jesus when the woman with the issue of blood came up and touched the hem of his garment? Can you see his face when he turned around? Who touched me? There had to be some excitement on her. That'd be some pleasing. Somebody reached out. Somebody took. Somebody received. Yeah. And that's the same what it is with us. Receive. It pleases him. The third reason that I want to touch on is that because in receiving all that he has, you can be a conduit to be a blessing for others. It's not about just being a reservoir and holding it. It's about being able to be flowed, to have it flow through. He said, you're blessed to be a blessing. That's the idea of it. And so don't accept the lie that says, I don't want to be selfish. That's too much. No, I'll just be humble. No, humble is not receiving. That's not pleasing. The idea is it's bigger than you. Let yourself receive to flow. So that was just a little background of where we were, because this one's going to kind of wrap up. It's a kind of a wrap of that, because sometimes when we see the promises of God, we understand that it's God that wants us to have those promises. It pleases him. We can still run into resistance, hindrances, obstacles in receiving those promises. But there is something that God provided for us in our benefit package that helps us, that will assist us in receiving. And that's called patience. Patience will help us, assist us in manifesting the victory that God has provided for us. So the title of this message is The Power of Patience. And now, patience isn't always one of those real exciting benefits, because time's involved. Patience means there's going to be time. And especially in this society that we're in, we're an instant-minded society. We have instant messaging. We have Prime, same-day delivery, download videos. We're not accustomed, we're not to wait. We want it, and we want it now. And it's good to expect and receive now. Jesus told us that. Believe, you receive when you pray. But also there are times when there's things that hinder. And so you have to be able to use patience, that gift of patience, to be able to effect that victory. So what I want you to do, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to start there. There's a number of scriptures, more than we're going to be able to get to today, that talk about patience and the power of patience. But what I'm going to start with is Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, one of the things that you might see in that verse is the words faith and patience. A lot of times we'll talk about faith, and faith is necessary to receive from God. As we learned before, Romans chapter 5, it says, by faith we have access into the grace in which we stand. God has provided everything by grace. That's all part of the package. Amen. By his grace, he's provided it to us. We receive by faith. But scripture also talks about faith and patience. We receive the promise. And it says, look at the examples of those two who have. And then as it continues on in Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 13, it continues on and talks us about one of the examples of those we should imitate. And he said, for when God made a promise to Abraham. Now Abraham, we always know, was the father of faith. Yes. We say by faith, he received righteousness. And so he said he could swear to no. So he talked about in 13 that God made a promise to Abraham. Then on 14, it lists what the promise was. And surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. Verse 15 is where I want to settle here. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So here we have two sections where we're talking about where we have faith and patience intertwined. It says we're receiving by faith and patience, and talking about Abraham, the father of faith. He patiently. The scholars think it was probably around 25 years from the time that God had promised him that he would have a son to the time he saw that son in the manifest. And so he walked through in faith patiently and had to stand for that. So in that, I want to clarify one thing real quick here, because there's a world has definitions of patience. The world has definitions of some of the words that we use that in biblical, and they've done a lot to abuse the words that are really what's in the scriptures. And so I'm going to give the biblical meaning. So because sometimes in patience, the world will view that or have an expression of that it's just tolerating or tolerance of a difficult situation, or it's a passive resignation to a difficult situation. You're just passively resigned, and the world can look at that as being patience. But the biblical, if you look at the actual Strong's biblical definition of that, it says that patience, there's two words that are translated, two Greek words that are used in the New Testament that talk about patience. And one of them is macrothemia, I'm pretty sure. And that has to do with patience, endurance, constancy, steadfast, perseverance. There's nothing passive about that word. That perseverance means like a commitment, a diligence, a determination. I'm not giving in. You're going after this thing. That's patience. It's an action word. It's an active thing. Now, and then the second word is hippomone, something. And the strong biblical usage of that says it's a cheerful or hopeful endurance. So, and those words are key. Cheerful and hopeful. Now, hopeful is another word that the world has abused. The world's view of hope is wishing and a hoping. And it's like there's no expectation with it. You getting through this? Well, I hope so. They don't have any expectation. But biblical hope is a confident, joyful expectation of good. It's taken that promise of God and it's excited about it. It's a joyfulness. It's an expectation. I expect that. That is hope. When we're talking about hope, when I use the word up here and we're looking through this, hope is that definition. There's an expectation. Confident, joyful, expectation of good. This has to happen. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about patience, action. Now, there's another word that sometimes gets translated with patience also, and that has to do, and it comes out as long-suffering. And patience and long-suffering and I think the first word up there is translated sometimes as long-suffering. And that has to do with relationships. And so if we have patience, like when Abraham received his son patiently, there was a promise that was made, and he received that promise. And that's one type of patience. But there's another type of patience that has to do with working with people. Just like God's, throughout the New Testament, it uses that word long-suffering to say, he is long-suffering with us. He is patient with us. And so that's another, it's another benefit that's in your package that's also available to you in your relationships, dealing with people. You can be patient because that God of patience is in you. And that's part of what you can, what you have available to you in difficult situations, not just with challenges coming at you, but also from people's standpoint. So I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1, because there's a verse in Colossians chapter 1 that describes both of these words. It includes both of these words in talking about patience. So, Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 11. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, be 11 and 12. And it says, we're going to break right into here, into a thought. I'm going to back up to 10 so that we can catch the flavor of it. That you may walk, this is a prayer that Paul is praying. All right, so this is a prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit that he's praying. He said that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Then it goes on in 12 saying, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now you notice here that both those words, patience and long-suffering. But notice it came from, you're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. There's a patience that you can try to do in your own strength. But if it's not your benefit package patience that's coming from his strength and according to his power, then it's not going to make it. It's not something that, this isn't something you can do on your own strength, nor is it something that you have to do in your own strength. You can draw on the power of patience. This is a similar wording where it talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And it talks about in there, about standing and have everything to, having done all to stand. It's a similar type of structure there. Now, the one thing that you'll notice, and one thing that's a barometer, whether you're walking in your own strength, walking in your patience on your own strength, or whether you're walking in God's patience, notice that it says, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. And the next two words are giving thanks. A patience that it's walking and flowing with him is a joyful patience. Even though there's a situation, I'm walking in joy in this situation. I'm giving thanks during this situation. That's also it's a way to as a barometer to say, hey, this is God's patience. There's joy with it. But it's also an attribute of that patience. It's also a characteristic of that patience. Because when you get a promise of God, you see it, that hope stirs up, you start getting the expectation of that, you're getting the joy of that. It's not like, oh, here's patience, here's joy, here's this, here. They're intertwined. Okay? So patience will be intertwined with faith, intertwined with hope, intertwined with joy. They're working together here to bring you the victory. So when you're walking in joy in the midst of a situation that can be challenging, that in the natural might cause you to be depressed or defeated. But when you're walking in his patience, your eye is on the promise. And that promise is so real that you're walking in that victory, and it just becomes, this is victory. I am walking in victory. God's promise to me is, by his stripes I was healed. So in the midst of pain, you can say, you can be joyful, because that pain has to change. And you can rejoice because of the answer, because of the truth. And that joy then becomes a weapon against that pain. Yeah. Then continuing giving thanks. That giving thanks becomes a reflection of that patience. You're moving in patience, but you're also becoming a weapon against that attack. So it's an intertwine. And it's also, it's the faith. You're standing on that word over a long prolonged time. So you're walking in patience. So these things interact. So it's not just something, okay, I have to do this in order to get. So let me go do this. It's walking in this and that, and the doing becomes an outpouring, because you really are joyful. Because you really are excited. This word is really true. And so you really are thankful, because you got the revelation of, wait, my circumstances say this, but the word says this. I receive the word. Amen. And though there, that excitement builds, then it becomes a natural outpouring then of what really is happening on the inside of you. It's not something that you're trying to stir up in order to get. It's something that, hey, it's outflowing. It's flowing out. So patience, joy, hope, faith, they're all intertwined. And I want to jump, let's go to Romans 15. Because I wanted to show in Romans 15, there's also a verse that talks about that. And it's Romans 15, verse 4. Verse 4 and 5. So Romans 15, 4 and 5. And it says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus." Now here's where it lays down that the hope, the patience and the hope come from the scriptures. Through the patience and the hope, it comes from the scriptures. So there was a time when I was an early Christian when I heard things like, don't pray for patience or you're going to get trials. And it was like, and where that came from was James. And let's go there. James chapter 1, because we might as well kick that one out. In James chapter 1, James's epistle is so cool, because he starts out with an introduction, right? He said, this is James. And he jumps right into it. Verse 2. Right after he gives his introduction. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." There's an opening line for you, isn't it? This is James. "Count it all joy when you fall and you come into various trials." Because he had the grasp of the patience. Knowing this. See, if you stopped at that point, it wouldn't explain how can you do this. But if it continues on in verse 3, he says, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now, based on what we've said about patience, joy, if you look up, let me get back to the right one here. "My brethren, count it all joy when you encounter various trials." It's almost the same thing that Paul said in Romans chapter 3, chapter 5, verse 3. He was talking about different things. He's talking about how we receive, that by faith we have access into this grace. And he says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that that tribulation works patience. Now, one thing this does not say, it does not say that God sends tribulation. It does not say that God sends trials. In fact, in James, later on in James, James clears that up and he says, let no one say when he's tempted of God. Right? He also talks about how every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father of light. So he makes it real clear. But somehow in religion, it's got twisted around, and that's where we got expressions like, oh, if you pray for patience, you're going to get trials. No, first off, you don't have to pray for patience. Patience is part of your package. You have patience. All right? It's already yours. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. It's all part there. It's all yours. It's all yours to draw on. It's not something that you have to work up. So first of all is that. And let patience have its perfect work. That's actually what we're talking about. When we're saying about with joy, with thanksgiving, we're walking in patience. We're letting patience have its perfect work or its completion so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. That's the end of patience, as patience works, as patience is worked. It's kind of like you have an idea of something or you have some training on something. So you've been trained, but now you go out and work it. And that now you become expert in that. You get some expertise in it. Let's say soldiers who go through boot camp and they have some experience, but when they get in the battle, or they have some knowledge, when they get in the battle, they get the experience and they become seasoned. They become better soldiers during that. Now, it's not that the enemy was their friend trying to teach them, but they learned things going through that. And so as we walk through things and we exercise patience, we learn, we get better, we get more tuned. We get more tuned because of this. So I'm going to give an example. Now this example has to do with gardening, because I like to garden. And the word talks about that sometimes in the parable of the sower of the seed. In Luke, he talks about that the seed that went on good ground, it produced fruit with patience. And anybody that's planted or grown crops knows there's patience involved in it. I like to grow a watermelon. And hallelujah. And so the one year I wanted to expand my watermelon patch, and I had an area that had been filled with a lot of heavy clay. Now, anybody who's doing it in garden know that clay isn't probably the best material for growing watermelon. And I was pondering this, and I said, boy, do I put a bunch of, to pull this out, to do some other fertilizer? And I just felt prompted to say, just speak the word. So I said, okay, I'm just going to speak the word. And so I planted the seed, and there was time involved. And I'd go out there and I'd talk to the seed. And I'd talk to it about Deuteronomy 28, about how everything that my fields are blessed, that there's an abundance. And I'd talk to it and I'd say, produce. There's produce. These are producer. And they would grow and they would come up. I could not, but I had to walk that through. I could not go back and dig up that seed and see, is it working? I had to stand and see it work. And it worked. All I gave it was the word. And in fact, my neighbor who puts all kind of stuff in his garden, and he was looking over, he asked my kids, what's your dad putting in that? And they told him, he just talks to it. And that was true. We had a bountiful harvest of watermelon. It was terrific. But you know, every year that I do that, I still have to struggle with the thought, not this year. It's not going to work this year. You still have to walk through that faith. I mean, you have the one standpoint that says, oh, I've got the experience of this. But at the same time, you have to still stay in that. You still have to stay in that word. Yeah. You can't coast on it. You can't step off in your own strength, and you also have to be listening. Now, but that's, you know, it seems simple. But it shows the principle. You see the word, you apply the word. You're thanking him. You're full of joy. You see the expectation of it. You reap the harvest. Now, it's a simple thing, but it happens also in any event. I had some other ones. For time, we won't be able to go in. I had some other things in business where it was the same type of thing, where there was a period of time in the business I was in that there wasn't any money, and I went 3 months without any pay because we were working on a project that we were trying to put together. And during that time, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, I mean, Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 became very real to me because I had to say it every day, all the time, because I was, my checkbook was telling me, you're not making it. And so I'd have to tell it, and I did it out of the Amplified. It said, God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to me in abundance so that I might always and under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient.
Yes.
No aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. As you step through that, the scriptures become alive, become real, become a revelation of that. And so today, I'm not where I was there because I have a revelation. I've gone through that experience. I've been able to see the word of God come through in that area. Same thing with healing. Same thing with other areas. I'm going to turn to one more scripture. We're going to close with that. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to go to verse 35 and 36. The time goes quickly, doesn't it? Hebrews chapter 10. And in verse 35, it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. Other verse says, you have need of patience. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Don't cast away your confidence. Remember, we said hope was the confident, joyful expectation of good. Keep the hope of that scripture before you. Keep the hope of those promises before you. Don't cast away your confidence. Back in that first scripture we talked about, don't be slothful. When we first started, don't be lazy. Don't try to coast. There is no coasting, all right? You don't want to coast. Coast just means you're starting to drift the other way. You're drifting back into the world. So you want to be able to, don't lose that confidence in the truth and in the power of God's word. Can I have the prayer ministers? We won't turn to it, but there's one other one that says, let's not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, you shall reap if you don't lose heart, if you don't get discouraged. Anytime when you're dealing with challenges or hindrances or delays, there's an opportunity to get discouraged. But it says, don't get discouraged. stay confident. Stay excited about the word. Keep that fresh before your mind. Keep that fresh before your eyes. Could you all stand, please? Lord, thank you. Thanks, Lord, for your word on how to walk in patience, joy, hope, expectation to receive what you have provided for us. Lord, show us if we've been growing weary or getting discouraged so we can make an adjustment in our thinking so we can receive the fullness of what you have for us. Lord, if there's areas that we've allowed discouragement to come in, we repent. We turn. We're not going in that direction. And we choose a path of joy, rejoicing, giving thanks. We commit to see your word, trust your word. And if there's things that have been feeding us discouragement, giving up, settling for less, show that, and we're turning that off. We're blocking that out. We won't let that in. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for showing our hearts, showing us our hearts and what needs to be changed. Now, if anyone here, if something spoke to you on this and you want to get some agreement on walking in patience, receiving, walking in joy, come on up. If you want to get a, if you want to receive something in the area of healing, you want someone to join you, or area of finances, or whatever area that you have, come on up. Our prayer ministers will link with you. Let's get it. Let's not settle for less. Don't settle for less. Let's get it all. Let's please Him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You are dismissed.